It's twofold. I think it's both a formal and an informal problem. When you talk about social structures, on the one hand, formally, most of the nurses, most of the healthcare workers are women. So you're seeing a breakdown of these services, not only because vast majorities of the infected are women, vast majorities of the people dying are women, many of the deaths in infected patients are healthcare workers because they face a lot of exposure. But you're also seeing closures of clinics and hospitals because those who have survived and are not yet infected are terrified. Naturally, it's a scary disease. It's never been seen in Liberia before. So that's sort of the formal structure. Informally, imagine a family, and these families are big, right? A family understood in Liberia is husband, wife, but also cousin, nephew, brother, uncle, and all the men get sick and all the women care for them and the women have children, and suddenly the women are the buffers between sort of the sick and the kids, and then the women get sick and then the women die and then the kids are left to fend for themselves. And if you sort of put your imagination into one house and watch it all fall apart, you can begin to understand what's happening in communities. And I think that what you're seeing now is a moment where, in particular in Liberia, everyone has gone, oh my dear God, this is massive, and we need to react and respond to everything all at once. And that's happening in health structures, in health clinics, in the ministries, in official places, at international levels, but also in families. And one place you can see that is that people where before were maybe saying, this Ebola stuff is just, you know, cooked up by the government for X, Y, or Z reasons, and we're going to go ahead and bury our auntie or our uncle the way we used to. Now you're seeing people say, no, I'm not touching that dead body. And that's creating a whole new set of problems. How do you deal with the sick and the dead?